I want to ask you this morning, and if you weren't here last week, you're going to say, what are you talking about? But we'll try to fill you in if you weren't here last week. I want to ask you this morning, has your prayer life this week been any different? Mine has. It's too bad the preacher gets all the, you know, when you're preparing for something, you put a lot of time into it, and you study, and you dig through this book, and you listen to the Lord, and it's amazing what He'll say, and then we're supposed to convey that in 30 minutes, and how do you do that? It's too bad not everybody gets this job. Pastors, next time he needs a time like this, he's going to open it up. Everybody's going to preach. Are you ready? Well, we didn't talk about that, but that's what he's doing with the 3 to 5 minute thing. Give you a chance to tell what the Lord is doing for you. And that's basically what I did last week, is share my testimony of how God is changing my prayer life. I didn't quite get done, so I've got a little bit I want to add to last week's. I want you to know, and I'll repeat this 100 times, not today, but I will repeat it over and over. I am learning that we serve an infinite God. Absolutely infinite. If you don't grasp that, it's not because I haven't said it. Our God is absolutely infinite. There is no limit to anything about our God. His love. There's no limit to His love. There's no limit to His ability. Last week I was talking about birds, and I'm going to again. But I missed a scripture. This was really important, and I don't know why I missed it. But in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Jesus is speaking here. Now listen to this. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, and this is where that scripture comes about the hair, indeed the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Next time you're driving in your car and you hit a bird. We had a bird hit the antenna not too long ago. Makes a big ruckus in the car, you know. Or if you hit one on the windshield. I want you to remember, God saw that. And God cares about that bird. He's not going to scold you. He's not going to condemn you because you hit one of His birds, but He knows about that bird. Not one of them is forgotten by your God. This morning as we were driving to town, the birds are starting to do this formation thing that they do in the fall, and you see them in the sky where it'll turn black and then it changes and then they fly another direction. And I saw several of those this morning, and 100 birds in a flock. One little community in Nebraska, and God knows every single one of those birds. And it sounds silly to me, but I'm not God, okay? What does it matter about that bird? What does it matter about that one? I didn't get one. That hare. Well, I want you to try your best to put yourself in God's position for a moment. You made that bird. You made it. It's yours. You made it. Scott, you made that bird. You gave it life. It's your life in that bird. He is, the Bible says that He is life, the source of all life. And you put that life in that bird. No wonder He cares about it. Because it's His life. I made that. hair that is or isn't on your head. God makes those. No wonder he cares about them. I want to clarify something I said last week. I get up here and I get to rambling. Our grandchildren have named some of our chickens. We've got a bunch of chickens running around our place. And our grandchildren have named some of them. I don't know all the names of our chickens, okay? I do know there's Elmo. He's the rooster, okay? I know him. But I don't know all the other names. So when I pray for my chickens, I think I said I prayed for that chicken. I don't pray for every chicken, Lord, Junior and whatever. I don't do that. I say, Lord, bless our chickens. Take care of them. But you got to be careful what you pray for. Have you got a picture for me? I asked God to take care of her because I thought the coyotes had gotten her or somewhere. She was gone. This last Monday, she shows up with 11 little peepers. And she's a little hen. She's not one of these big old farmyard hens. She's a little gal. You got to be careful what you pray for. Well, I thought she was dead. She was off doing what God told her to do, be fruitful and multiply. And boy, she did it. And so she has given us something for Barb and I to watch and enjoy. And thank you, Greg. You can take that down. But from the other spectrum of prayer, I prayed for our chickens. Yeah, I do. Lord, take care of them, that sort of thing. And that seems pretty trivial, I know. But let's go to the other spectrum of my testimony on prayer. You might think I'm nuts, and I don't really care. But I want to tell you what else I'm praying for. To the best of my ability, every day, I am praying, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move over the United States of America. And that you and your Holy Spirit would settle on every pregnant woman in the United States. And that every one of those women would feel in her heart that intense love and desire for their child, and that they would decide to carry that child to term and to give it birth. Father, only you can do that. Father, move over those women. Show them the love, the intense love that you poured into them as you made them, and they're now pouring into the child that they're carrying. Father, show them that. The world is not teaching them about love. My dream is that one day, and I don't care what our government says about abortion, I don't care. One day the abortion clinics will all have their appointments canceled and nobody's there. Because every woman, because of God's Holy Spirit, decided, I'm going to give this child birth. I am going to take this life that God has put in me, and we're going to give it birth. You think that's a crazy prayer? It is if you have a God that's my size. But not if you have an infinite God. Not if you have a God that can do that. You and I, if we go to a woman who is contemplating abortion, she's going to think we're condemning her. She's going to think we're picking on her. Well, you don't know my situation. And there are some really awful situations. But Almighty God can go over her and say, I love you so much. I'm knitting that little life inside of you. I'm putting that life together. Please. Give it birth. I pray for chickens, but I pray for the Holy Spirit to do mighty things. Can you imagine what would happen in this country It may not even make the news because of certain situations. But if every abortion clinic was open, but no business, our God can do that. That's a big prayer. That's a big prayer. And it would take a mighty miracle of God to accomplish that. And I believe it. I believe one day it'll happen. What is your prayer? How big is your prayer? Is it that big? Or is it, and I'm not trivializing my chickens, but don't get stuck on the chickens. Get stuck on what God is really, what really burns in His heart, the lost. And if birds and chickens were trivial to God, He wouldn't care, but He does. So I'm not trivializing either. One of the scriptures that I really skipped over last week is very short, but it comes from James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. I shared with the children quite a while back, this is a couple years ago, we're talking about devotions. What it means to have devotions. It's kind of a adult term, I guess. And I told the kids, I said, devotions is no more than snuggle time with God. Snuggle time. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you have all tried to snuggle with a child who did not want to be snuggled. Cameron, sorry. They're having a discussion over here. I didn't want to be snuggled. No, I'm just teasing. You've all had that. When you tried to snuggle with a kid and the kid just did not want anything to do with you. But when that same kid is hurt or that same kid is sick or when that kid is just sad, that's when they want to snuggle. Mommy or Daddy, will you help with this? Just hold me. God is not going to, in our prayer time, God is not going to grab Jesse by the ruff of his neck and say, now Jesse, sit down or get on your knees. We are going to talk. God will not do that, ladies and gentlemen. But He might make things uncomfortable enough that we want to go have some snuggle time. He might allow pain severe enough that I will say, oh, what else can I do? I can't do this. I left some of you hanging. Some of you asked about my bugs, my corn bugs. And I'm going to tell my wife a little bit here, because this is awesome. This is really awesome. I told about our cornfield and how the bugs were eating us out of house and home before we even got kernels on the cobs. And we discussed all of our options, and there weren't any as far as physical go-do-this option. It was Friday night. Everybody was closing. You couldn't order anything if you wanted to, and there was nobody to put it on. The pilots were all off for the weekend. There was nothing we could do. But let the bugs eat. So that Friday night, Barb and I just kind of sat around and we talked a little bit about the plagues of Egypt, how God used the flies and the gnats and the frogs. And when He was done with them, they were gone. And so we didn't actually pray together about it, but I know we did individually. And Sunday morning, I think it was Sunday, I may have this wrong, but I think it was Sunday morning. Barb told me later, she said, I woke up this morning And she said, I couldn't remember what I was supposed to be worried about. I knew I was supposed to worry about something, but I don't know what it was. Oh, bugs. Oh, but we gave that to the Lord. It was awesome. My wife was teaching me. I don't even remember what I'm supposed to worry about because we gave that to the Lord. Snuggle time, when things hurt so bad and there's nothing we can do. And last week, I kind of ended with this, and I'm going to end the introduction this morning with this. You realize, don't you, that we, as a church, God's people, remember, God is saying, these are my people. We determine how bad things are going to get. You and I do. Because Jesus said, or God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Doesn't talk about the world, those that are lost, those terrible sinners out there. That's not what he's talking about. Us, you and I get to determine how bad things are going to get. You and I get to decide when we are finally going to say, Lord, we can't handle this anymore. And so my challenge to you on this is, how much time are you praying? And Carla and I talked about this. She said, I'm praying. What's the matter with the rest of you? There's no certain time. You don't pray this long. Okay, that's enough. Oh, I haven't had my prayer time today. Another big guilt trip. No, none of that. But if you're going to let God make things uncomfortable enough until you want to pray, things are going to have to get worse, aren't they? We're going to have more 9/11s and stuff like that. So you and I get to determine how bad things are going to be. Now, that is the end of the introduction. Oh man, we're doing good. I want to look at the Lord's Prayer, but not the whole thing. But we're going to read the whole thing. And you can pray it, you can close your eyes, you can do what you want here. I'm not going to have you stand. Jesus is, excuse me, I don't have COVID, I have allergies, okay? Jesus is telling his disciples, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it goes on, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There is something at the very beginning of this prayer that I think we go over the Lord's Prayer so fast we don't catch it. And that's why I want to take the first couple of lines. Remember, who's sharing this? Jesus is telling his disciples in person, okay? These are his disciples that walk around with him. We also are his disciples. Jesus is telling them to pray like this, Our Father. Now, I don't know if you can grasp this. I'm working on this, okay? All of what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes is a work in progress for me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you what I'm working on. Our Father. Jesus is talking. Telling his disciples, Our Father. Devon and I can talk about our Father. We have had a father who passed away. We had a father in common. You and your siblings, you can talk about your dad, our dad. Jesus is telling us to address God as our Father. If you look in John, you don't need to turn there, but some of you know this. John chapter 17 is known as the high priestly prayer. And Jesus is praying to his Father, to our Father, to God. 6 times in there that I counted, he uses the word Father. 6 times. Where he and his Father are talking, they're communicating. And here in the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer, he's telling us to address God the same way that he does. What does that do to you? As I have worked this over and it's working me over, Jesus has put us on the same level with him when it comes to prayer. Our Father. That just blows me away. I can't quite grasp that. My Savior has told me to address God the same way he does. That is the relationship. What do you think of when you think God and Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God? They are together. There is no pulling them apart, and yet they're separate. I don't get that, but you know what I mean. And when Jesus and the Father communicate, what must that be like? And Jesus is saying, I want you to talk the same way to our Father. I don't have any answer for that. That is beyond me. But that's what Jesus is telling us. Say this. After this manner, therefore, pray like this. This is NIV, or no, this is King James. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Jesus says, pray like this. Then I want you to notice the next thing. Our Father, who art in heaven. Remember last week I shared with you there are other objects of prayer. Those who worship Satan, those who worship other things, are praying to them. I always get nervous when people say, oh, prayer changes things. Yeah, maybe, but who are you praying to? Meditation, yoga. I'm sorry if you're into that. I don't believe it's for Christians. I'm sorry if we disagree. But because it's concentrating on something other than God. Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus is telling us, make sure you designate who you're praying to. Our Father in heaven, not some other Father. If you want to see this clarified, this comes from John chapter 8, verse 42. And Jesus is really ripping the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the church big shots. The Pharisees are the ones who are taking the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Pharisees are doing this. They are taking God's word and trying what they say is their best to uphold God's word, the Old Testament. They've got it screwed up, but they're doing their best. And this Jesus guy is just blowing things all out of whack because he's not following the script, what they think is the script. So these people in John chapter 8, these are church people that Jesus is addressing, okay? These are not some loonies from somewhere else. These are the Pharisees. They're the general superintendents. They're the district superintendents. They're the big shots in the church. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and am now here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. you belong to your father, the devil. What would Billy think if we told him that? It's the equivalent. I mean, he's the big church big shot. He's the church higher-ups. And that's who Jesus is addressing. Your father, the devil. What happened? And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. And Jesus is addressing these guys because their father is no longer our father. They can't pray the Lord's Prayer, our father, because their father is the devil, Jesus said. So Jesus told us to pray, our Father, and then specified, who art in heaven? And I misspoke last week. I said in Revelation 10, it's Revelation 12 where we have this story of Satan. And I don't know how the timing all works together. I honestly don't know how that is. But the story is in Revelation 12 where Satan and his forces are hurled out of heaven down to this earth. That's in Revelation chapter 12 if you want to read it sometime. He is no longer in heaven. So when we pray, our Father in heaven, that designates who we're praying to. There's a problem here. I think the last survey I heard, and this was this last week, I believe, 42%... Oh, I don't know. How many people? Does anybody take a count? Are we 60 of us here today? 70? 42% of the people in church this morning, in the United States, a Christian church this morning. I'll say it the other way. 58% of people in church this morning do not believe that this is God's Word. 58% of the people in the pew do not believe that this is God's Word or that it can be trusted. 58%. So, if they don't believe that this is God's Word, then they can't say, our Father. They probably do. They probably quote it. But if you don't believe in this word, and Jesus says, if he were your father, you would love me. And you would, why don't you understand my language? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. There is no limbo between, yes, I believe in God, and yes, I trust his word, and I'm just going to ride the middle. I may be not quite there, but I'm not, oh, I don't worship Satan, and I don't believe what he says. I'm sorry, there is no middle ground. You either do or you don't. And so when Jesus is addressing our Father in heaven, he's being specific. And so need we be. The next couple of phrases, and I'm almost out of time. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. I want you to notice something different. And again, this is a work in progress in my head, okay? I'm not preaching this as fact or you have to believe this way, okay? Your kingdom come. I'm not going to ask you. To me, that doesn't sound like a request. Down there where give us this day, that sounds like a request. But when it says, hallowed be your name, that's a statement. That's a statement to me that says, God, I want this done. Do we have that kind of authority? Again, question, not a statement of fact. Lord, I want your name to be hallowed. I want your kingdom to come. And I want your will to be done. I've written in my notes here, and I've had it in all the sermons. I told you I had four sermons in here, and it's in all of them. Why do we have to pray that? God's going to do what he wants anyway, right? God's in control. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. Remember that song? I'm not so sure, folks. Remember Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, and all that stuff, but also over all the earth. Let them have dominion over all the earth. God does not go back on his word. So when God says, let those people, let these men, this race of man, let them have dominion over the earth, there's no place where he's gone back on that. And so I'm beginning to think, and I may be wrong, I may change my message in a year. I told you that we determine how bad things are going to get. When God tells us to say, hallowed be your name, it's almost like, God, this is what we are ordering. Your kingdom come, Lord, your kingdom come. I want your kingdom to come. I have authority. You gave it to me, but I'm giving it back. I want your kingdom to come. That sounds a little bossy to me, and I'm a little afraid to even tell you that. Do I have that kind of authority with God? Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. I think when it comes to the topic of prayer, and I'm just going to shorten this up because we have communion today, and I'm going to shorten it up. Maybe it's next week. Hey, I don't know. Church, you and I have a responsibility, I believe, even to God. Give him permission to do his will in your life. Permission. God said, let them have dominion. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with my dominion. Lord, you take it. I don't want it. Thy kingdom come. You know why we don't understand kingdom? In a kingdom, there is a king. There is no vote. You do not vote in a kingdom. There is no Supreme Court. There is no Congress. There is no state governor. There is no state legislature. The king says, this is it. And when the king says, this is it, that's it. And so when Jesus tells us, this is why I believe this is true, that we have authority with God to allow him to do his will. You hold the key. Is God just going to do everything he wants? Ultimately, his kingdom will rule. I know that. But I certainly believe that you and I were given dominion of some kind, and I don't understand it all. And Jesus tells us to give it back. Is he king in your life? Is Jesus king in your life this morning? I mean, no vote, no discussion. When Jesus says something gives you, this is confession time. I woke up at 1:30. I thought I had this done. I got up at 1:30 and I felt the Lord say, go, 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 go. And I was barely asleep. All right. So I got up and I went to the office. And I wrote a bunch more stuff, and I reprinted, and I reprinted again. But I want that to be the norm in my life. When I hear him say, go, I jump. When I hear him say, stay, I stay. Is Jesus the Lord, the King of your life? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done.